six, seven, eight, nine.
Well, okay, I've got 2-3s on here, and as you look at it from the beginning with, you'll see that it's not much different than 2-2. These are my switches down here. Is everyone back? She couldn't be here?
Well,
yeah.
I brought my
biscuit. Oh, okay. Let me just take it now, and I'll.
I just got it from her, so I don't know.
Okay, we'll see what form it's in.
Okay.
Okay. Here's an unknown biscuit. She says she has some data on it. Did a JET come file?
Or do you know? I don't even know.
Okay,
we
need to check
this
it.
This is from my sister, and this is some of the information she has on her computer on the JET. And I wanted to put it on mine, but I wasn't sure how to do it.
Now what I've done here is I've read some data from an A drive right here. See that? Which one changes this? Check and see what's on the A drive. So I just type directory A. Go over to the A drive. This is your disk.
Right.
And is this for a Mac?
No. I don't think so. I have an IBM computer.
Yeah.
And I thought that she did.
Okay, it's not reading it. That's what that means right there. That usually means that it's not formatted.
She put down on the
I don't know. I read into this at the library yesterday when I was using a high density drive, or low density drive with a high density disk.
Yeah, that'll happen too. This is a high density disk. Okay, it's a JEDCOM file, so. Now, I'll tell you why that didn't read it.
Okay.
The first time. And you develop a keen eye for this, because when you get as frustrated as I've done, you look for every single thing that can go wrong. There's a difference between this line right here and this one right here. You see the difference? There's a space. I accidentally put a space in there before I typed that.
There shouldn't be a space.
No. Sometimes you can get by with a space being in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is a JEDCOM file consisting of 277,000 bytes. Now, these bytes right here, that's like a keystroke. We talk about a byte, B-Y-T-E. Okay. So there's 277,075 letters of the alphabet and or numbers. That's like one keystroke. That's how much information. That's a fairly good file. Now we can't really do anything with that JEDCOM file. The way it is. It's just a transportability file right now. You want to see how I would add that to my file?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to start the PAF program here by typing PAF. You get the access menu. And I just want to look at family records first. And see what it's set up to go to. Okay, it says this disk does not contain family records data created. Well, I don't want to do that, so what I want to do is run my configuration program. I just loaded it in, but I haven't run the configuration, so I'll run the configuration program. So I go to the access menu, and this is one of the first things you'll do. Once all of the programs have been loaded under path 2-3, right down here. My designation is for 2-3, it's just PAF 2-3. That way I know I'm using 2-3 and not 2-2, so. If you just say yes, put it under path, it'll go right under path. You won't go to version until you type family records, then it will tell you. So this is the access menu you get, and then you go to number 6. Configure programs. And I'm going to assume this is an IBM compatible machine. However, it is a Zenith. This is a Zenith machine, which is number 7. But I'd rather it be an IBM compatible. So let's see what happens. I'm going to select 1. Printers are listed. I'm going to select printer 21. Ignore printer at this time. I can always go back and change it, but I attach this to a printer. Okay. Yeah, any questions on this, let me know.
How can you do this?
I don't know. That's proprietary information. I don't know what... I'm just going to see if it'll work under IBM, because when they build a machine like this, like the Zenith, they want it to be IBM compatible or just DOS compatible. So they'll make it fully DOS compatible. That's my feeling anyway. If they don't, then...
They're not very smart.
Yeah. They're not mainstreaming it. Okay, this is going to go to the C drive, path 2-3, and there's a flip directory there on the C drive. Okay. Let's keep the data in that directory. Program disk is C, path 23. Scratch drive is C. That just means that if a large search is, or a large sort is being made, it needs to throw some information out on the disk so it can get more memory to sort. And then when it's through, it'll bring that information back off the disk, and then it'll erase or scratch it off the disk. It doesn't impede any, or doesn't erase any of the data that you already have. Require a carriage return on menus. The default is no. I don't want a carriage return, which means if I type something, I have to push enter. I don't want to push enter all the time. I'd rather go a little faster. Of course, surnames to uppercase on family records, reports, yes. Use form field in printing. Say no, that's the default. That just means if you have single sheets, feed in. That'll be yes. Printer port type, COM or LPT, 1, is 1. Usually the first port is your printer port. If that doesn't work, you don't get anything printing, change that to 2. Either 1 or 2. Parallel printer timeout value 0. And I think that just means it's sort of... Well, I think if you change that, then it'll give you a certain amount of time to wait before the printer is actuated, which gives you time to set the printer. I've never messed with that. And then you can change your colors here. 15:1 is what? Bright white over blue. Your little T is at the bottom. And of course it won't come out in color up here on the screen. So I'm just going to leave everything the way it is. Yeah.
If you were actually bringing some in, you would she put a different name in there? Would you actually want to bring that in and just put one in?
No. I'm going to make a directory and put your stuff in there.
Okay.
And it'll be under your list.
No, I'm not going to put it in there. I'm going to put it someplace else.
But you can't tell here who?
No. No, we're just configuring right now.
Okay.
I want to make sure everything's configured. Okay, I'm just going to let go then. Press F1. Verify new names during data entry. I'm going to change that to no. I usually leave it on yes. Ask create notes. after saving, no. Do separate files for notes, no.
That was like if you had no tools or hot drives or something.
Right, and this is where you put in your WordPerfect, like WordPerfect on this computer is on the C drive, backslash WP drive one.
Oh, you don't have to put which notes you go in your system?
Well, that is. Name of your notes editing program, that's just my path for it. I could just type in WordPerfect, I suppose, but this gives a path.
So that just gets you into the where it's stored?
Yeah. Okay, the rest of that I'm gonna leave the same. Do you have any question on it, on any of those others?
Now, you brought the path, you brought the WordPerfect program up. So you'd be working with WordPerfect instead of Path?
Well, no, I'm not going to use the WordPerfect. Because it's, I answered no right here, but I put it in there in case I do want to use it. I'll just come back and put yes, and then it'll go to that.
Okay, now I'm on Windows, so I just leave it on Windows unless I...
I suppose I haven't used it with Windows, so I don't know how to.
I used Windows because I was used to the mouse.
Yeah. Any questions on the other lines up there?
Is it necessary to change all that?
No.
Copy it?
No, I'm just, I hadn't looked at configuration to see what it is.
Okay.
I'm just going through and checking. Configuration file updated, the program directory, press enter. Okay.
Do you have to do anything else besides what you did?
No, this will do it automatically.
Okay, it'll do it automatically.
I should tell you, do you know what the AutoExec batch file is?
No.
Okay, BAT stands for batch. It's a batch file. A batch file is a set of instructions. Now, as soon as you turn your computer on, internally in the chip, it knows to go and look for the AutoExec batch file. It, first of all, goes to your A drive. So it'll go to the A drive, and it'll try and read whatever's on your disk. Because it boots up or loads up from this disk if it's in here. And that's just in case something goes haywire on the inside, then you can load it up from a disk, like a diagnostics disk or something like that. So it goes to this first. And then, if there isn't anything in there, and there shouldn't be when you turn the computer on, then it will go to the AutoExec back file. That's the self-executing file, which tells the computer where to go first. It may tell it to go to the PAF program. It may say to go to Windows, or to a menuing system. But in that particular file are the instructions for it to get started. It's like a boot up file. So that's a very important file. And PATH automatically puts some instructions in the AutoExec BAT file to get started. So we'll go ahead with this. Now what I have to find out is if I've got some data there in the Flick directory. So I'll press Control Shift Shift, and then go over to the C, to the Flick directory, and then type dir. Well, I don't have any data there, so I'm going to reach some in.
Well, do you know that because it's a 0 byte?
Right. See, I just have this dot, this one dot here. and then the two dots. When you type cd dot dot, that means to go to the previous directory. Cd dot is the directory that you're in. That's just some kind of computer notation. So at this point, I'm going to read data in from the A drive. Now, I'm in the flick directory on the C drive, but I'm also still in path. But I bounced out of path to DOS. It's like going to the door and asking somebody.
That's when you went from shift, control, shift,
right.
Left.
Right. Okay. Control, left shift, right shift. Okay, I have 91 files. Ooh, no, wait a minute. I have... okay. Now, if I go to the A drive, let me type that one again. Okay, that's my path program. But right at the end, there's a flick directory. So I'm going to go to the flick directory on the A drive. So now I started the path program, I bounced out the DOS to the C drive, then I went to the C drive to the A drive, and I went from the A drive to the flick directory because I was trying to find some data. I knew it was on this one.
Now this is all just to get a GEDCOM?
No, I haven't even started with the GEDCOM file yet. I just want to get some data in there. I hadn't finished loading my data yet.
Oh, okay.
So if I say copy star dot dat, notice all of the data files. Or I could type star dot star.
Yeah, so that means everything.
Yeah. Star dot star or star dot dat and copy that to the C drive. Now if I just put C drive, it will put it under that flip directory on this in the path directory because that's the last directory I was in. All right, now if I put C colon, it throws me back to the C drive and then I type dir and there's my data. So now I have data there. So all I've done is I've gone over here to this disk, copied my data that I have there. It's new data, it's different data than you saw before. And I put it into the flip directory under 2.3. All right, now I'll type exit to exit out of this. It says enter exit to return to path. And now if I press 4, then I get category search. And I have some data for this one. And I typed L, I can see I just have, I don't have too many names in it. I don't like to keep these too big, because when I hit like alpha, then I get a lot of names. Now, I have some duplicates in there on purpose. So, I purposely put them in. Now, let's say I want to add a GEDCOM file to a directory under path. So I'm going to add your data to the GEDCOM.
Now that won't combine it with your data?
No, not at this point. I just want to see what's there.
I just want to see it.
Right, and then I'll add it. I'll add what I want to mine.
Then do you just read that directly off of the disk? Or
no,
what?
I'll show you how to do it. All right. I'm going to go...
What did you get then to do that?
Oh, this right here?
Uh-huh.
Just control shift shift.
Oh, get back to
oh, I just...
Yeah, yeah.
Now all these keystrokes that I'm telling you about are listed on this sheet right here.
Now that you've been writing them down.
We can read what we wrote down.
Now, these keystrokes that I passed out to you are also in the program, but they're not all together in one place, and I'll miss them together.
May I ask a question on this?
Yes.
You show, see how dumb I am. On your, you have these little marks on either side of home. Do you have to hit those keys?
Which one of them?
Very first one on path command.
Oh, commands. No.
That's
anytime
just,
you have little arrow signs.
Yeah.
Okay, that means that
under help commands, the alt is the alt key. You have alt, control.
It's in tagging shift.
Right, so you just push alt and then the letter H.
Oh, okay.
That's just the way they do it in computer work.
Yeah, they're not, I couldn't quite figure that out.
Alt H, and then alt HH will get you to another help screen. So you have commands for individual data screens, and then commands for the notes file, and then this one. This control right shift, left shift is at the bottom of that second page. Well, they abound, they're all over the place.
Yeah, I found some cards.
Yeah, there's some nice cards that are out.
Yeah, I asked if you had class and done it over the table, you want to use it.
Yeah, I've made some in the past, but then I got more I do it, and I thought most people do it, but that would be a good idea.
See, most of, I'm working on the state computer and then helping everybody else with their stuff, and he's got it set up so that we can't get out to DOS because he doesn't want us to mess up.
That's right.
So I have no knowledge of DOS, and I got a computer set at home and I'm afraid to use it because I don't know DOS.
Well, with most PATH programs, you can't protect this approach, but you can get to DOS, but you have to be careful when you're out there.
Yeah, and that's why they've done it, so we don't ever let you erase all the projectors.
Let's see.
We had somebody write ours, somebody used to use it, you know, got it to DOS, and then...
Yeah, we don't have to fix it, so we can't get out to DOS, so I've never had to work from DOS. I've always worked from Visual Life Commands, but there is a menu called DOS Commands that I can format digits like copy target sources.
So you've created a file called Howard that you put on?
I'm just making a directory called Howard. Now we're going to start on the checkum file. All that other stuff I did was just to check to see if I had a file there, because I'm going to add some of her data to my file, but I want to look at her file first.
So what is Howard, you mean?
That's her...
That's your...
Well, that's her last name. Our maiden name is Allred, and that's what the...
Okay, well...
I think the file is Allred.
Okay.
Her married name is Howard.
I'll just write it. Okay, now there's a directory in there called Allred. If I want to check the directory, I use the DOS command DIR, and it should be the last directory that comes up. So it is there.
Now, if you can't get out to DOS, can you not read the checkum file?
Well, all I did there was create a directory to put checkum in.
Because I got one, and I couldn't get it to do anything, like when I was in the microcom section, and I had to do all that. I would like to know if I could do it on the state.
Yeah, you should do
it. I should make another directory.
Or you could just make a directory on your same disk. Read it on the same disk in a data file. We'll back out of this program, and then go into number two. GID.
Access.
And then we'll go into number three, to lunch and data communication. Now I could print the JEDCOM file, but at this point, I don't know the name of it, and I don't have a printer, but I can't set it to print to this screen.
And it wouldn't print out a data file.
Let's see if I formatted it, unformatted it somewhere. I don't.
So you could print it out from there. You formatted it, and it would print in a data file.
have any problems with it?
I haven't used it.
Okay. All right, we'll try another approach here. It's just not wanting to read that. So I'll just do it the normal way that I do it. And that is, I'll select number two, add all JEDCOM file to family records data. Family records data disk, I'm going to change that to all red right here. That's my target path. That's where I'm sending it. JEDCOM file disk is what? A, where I'm reading it from. Name of JEDCOM file. Oh, did we find out it was all red? Just all red? Okay.
You don't have to worry about caps or anything except on your, you did cap your disk, file disk. Is that necessary?
No, it's not case sensitive.
Okay.
When you start using the internet, however, and getting into a lot of files, case sensitivity is quite important. All right, so there's our all red. And had you had more files on the on your disk right here, it would have read all the files and listed them on the right. You only have one file there. This allows you to select the one you want. Yeah, press F1 to select highlighted file. Several names on this file, so it'll take a little bit to read it. It's supposed to make three passes over the data to ensure its accuracy in transmission. And that's why reading a JEDCOM file takes a little bit of time. So what we're doing is reading it into the all-red directory, which is under the path directory.
But not into your own.
No, I'm not reading it into my own yet. I just want to look at it and see show you that it's there. And then what we'll do is select what we want to put into my file. And we can select it two ways. We can do it. We can make a JEDCOM file from this one now that I have. Or we can go back to her JEDCOM file and read it over into mine, but we'll select after we've identify the data we want to just put into mine. I'll do it. I'll do it two ways. How many names do you think are in this file?
I don't know. I think it's
500 already.
Yeah, I don't know.
The All Red family is one of the largest families.
One of the largest in the church.
I think it's the top three families.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why the name sounds so familiar.
My Norton line there.
The difference between the individuals and
thank you, Mary Melinda. All red.
Well, there are a certain number of lines per record or per individual. Like your surname, given name, date. So it's reading down through the record. When it finishes that record, then you see like the individual name, individual numbers increased by one. So it's reading pretty fast. It's going down and reading those and saying, okay, here's one individual. Read some more. Read line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here's another one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But it's accumulating those lines. So you know how many lines are being read, too.
Well, they're down here in the mirror.
14,000 lines, 15,000, we're going to 16,241. Now, checking for other variances.
54, anyway.
If you what?
Keep you informed.
Yes, so you know what's happening. With the first couple of releases that came out, you didn't know what was happening. You just had to wait. Then people get all excited when nothing happens. They start punching keys.
Yeah.
And then stop it. And they interrupt it. And then they figure out why it didn't
work.
And
are we scanning it again, or?
No. Well, it just went back through.
Dead kept family.
Okay. Now we'll go, we'll exit out of this by pressing 0. Exit again by pressing 0. So you're going back up to the menuing system. I'll go over to family records, number 1. Now if I press enter, here, and I'll press pedigree search, number 4, whose data am I going to be looking at?
This will be, my sister will be the first, and my mom and
dad. You'll be looking at Flick.
You'll be looking at all records.
Yeah, why will I be looking at Flick?
Because you're going to put down your own.
That's right. Or I have to shift it over there. See, if I press 4, there's my data. Now, her data's not in there at all yet. If I press 1 alpha, her data is not there either. So I just have to go to the directory where her data is. So what I'll do is select which letter. A, utility.
Utility.
And which number? Three. Because I'm going to change the configuration. And here I need to put under instead of Flick.
Now, why didn't you do that
to begin with? I could have.
Okay.
I could. I just wanted to show you that most people do it the other way, then they wonder where the all red data is.
All right. So if you didn't go back out into that temporary to change it, you wouldn't find it when you got
it. That's right. You wouldn't see it.
See, that's why some of mine are hidden and I can't find them. I know they're on my hard disk and I can't find them.
That's why mine didn't work either.
Right.
How do you get them up when you do that?
Well, what you can do is you can go through, well, you can go to the C prompt, go to DOS, and then type directory and see if you can see the names of the files listed there.
Okay, here's a stupid question. How do I know the name of mine? Do I go to temporary and see what my name is called?
Yeah. Go, and that way it will tell you what directory has been made.
Mm-hmm. I never did that where you...
Yeah, sometimes there's a default directory called data, and it's stored under data. Okay. Now I'll get back out of this and select number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right, pedigree search. Okay, William Dean Howard.
Oh, that's...
Okay, now, how do we get the all red stuff up there?
The spouse.
Okay, spouse. And then large. L for large. And...
Yeah, let's see, you got extensions on
everything. Yeah. See every one of these out here? See those little arrows out there?
Oh, that is my goal. That is my goal, is to Sunday go right in and have an arrow on everything.
Well, I'm going to put this one on my pedigree.
When I get a message that says file not named, does that mean I skipped a step that I didn't name a file some way? So I got the data but no name on it?
It could be, or it's looking for a file name that you haven't specified. If you're using the GEDCOM file, that's the only place I know where that appears.
Okay.
Well, your people ever in.
Okay, now if I were to go over here with a little, let's see, I want to see what this list name is, Southern States 9. I'll see where the Norman Bliss line is.
A little man named Bliss Allred.
Oh, that really does go back there.
Yeah.
Whoa. By the way.
14 generations, that's great.
Yeah.
So I just need to look and see how much information she has about each one of those specifically. And then compare it to what I have. But is it better to print all this out so that I can compare it?
No, I would.
You can, yes. You can do that.
Or what's the best way? I don't know.
Well, there are a variety of ways you can do it. What I would do is take a look at the data and see how well connected it is. Now, I'll just show you how to do a few little checks on it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to run the alphabetical sort. We've got about 1,000 names.
And what did you push?
I just pressed the one alpha. I got it.
Yeah, down the bottom.
Down the bottom.
There was something you said you wanted to refresh.
Rebuild. See that one at the bottom?
Rebuild, yeah, okay.
But the default here is to rebuild it every time you bring that stuff.
Oh, okay, so that's already.
Right. All right, now.
If you can't come up with that, then you build it up right up.
See, I can go through these page by page, and I can check for any duplicates just by doing this. And there may be some duplicates.
Well, you mean it's showing the duplicates in your own?
No.
This is sister's.
This is just hers.
Just hers.
If I see a lot of duplicates, like here's an Edmund. Let's see, where is the highlight?
Here's down on the highlight.
No, we're not in match merge. On.
You mean so you can move it up with your mouse?
Well, I'm just looking at it here. I'm just trying to get it so I can see it.
Oh, okay.
Without my glasses, but that's not gonna work. Okay, here's Edmund Ingalls. He was born 1675, and the next one was 1585. So they're two different ones. But I can go through, and I can just sort of check the data out like this. And this tells me right away that this looks like a pretty clean, integrated collection of data.
And knowing it's your suggestion.
It looks pretty good. See, we've got Godfrey Litchfield down here. And we don't know if these are the same ones. I rather doubt it.
Yeah,
but,
I don't think there's that many.
Look, there's a whole bunch of them.
Okay, there's an 1822 Godfrey Litchfield, 1788, 1621, 1755, 1855, 1688. Common name of that family.
And how come your cursor's not going down as you check each one?
Well, I'm not checking with this. I'm checking it with the...
Down.
Arrow down?
Yeah.
You're going arrow down?
Did you see the highlight on this?
Yeah.
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 Not this...
There was a kind of a...
Oh,
which one's highlighted?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Henry?
No.
Okay, that's why I need to check this. Highlighted there. Okay, you can see that. Is that?
Yeah.
There. You like to start playing the piano pretty soon.
Well, actually, these these are all the all-red lines. This is another line, this is the original line.
Well, if I wanted to go the all-reds, I'd type 80, and then page down, and then we can run through the all-reds. A lot of all-red names. Real fast to find them. If I wanted to go to the Z's, I'd press Z or A-W. Okay, that data, just looking at it that way, looks pretty good. Now I'm going to select pedigree, number six.
Print forms and reports.
Well, I'm going to look at the print forms and reports, and I'll tell you why. I want to select my printing option to display to the screen. That goes out of its memory when you turn the computer or back out of the program. And then I'm going to go to other lists right down here. And then individuals without recorded parents. Actually, individuals without recorded parents. Let me try possible record problems first. By the way, I did find a key on here that does stop it from scrolling.
Oh, look at that.
The break key. Oh. Isn't that the break key?
Baptism is 105 years later than endowment. Baptism is 81 years later than endowment. That's amazing.
Henry Stapley put it, read 212. Death is 123 years after Christmas. Who knows?
I don't think you did that one. You take that up. How does it know?
Yeah. It press check.
Is there certain standards that it's measuring against?
Yeah. Sometimes the computer's smarter than us.
They're just anomalies.
There's one mother was 40 when she was born.
Yeah.
48 when born.
You would want to merge that in the other
one.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit
what
nuts.
What you want to do is print this out. You want to print this out and make sure that you examine each one of these to determine if there is really a problem.
Is that when it checks records before you back up? Is that what it's doing?
No, not this one.
But could you run this on your own line to see if you've got some discrepancies that would not have picked up on check records?
Yes, but a check record approach does something else. It doesn't do anything.
Which one did you choose?
May I ask something? When Vanessa's mother was 40 years old when born, does that mean she was 40 or did her child was 40?
She was 40. The mother was.
No, she was born.
Everybody's talking. What his answer is. Did the mother that had the child, was that her age or the child's age?
It was the mother's age. And that's not so uncommon.
No. That's why I asked about that one specifically. There was one out in 62 when she was born.
Well.
And that would be pretty unusual. But the 40 wouldn't be all that.
That's right. It's not, it wasn't as unusual.
So the she in that statement means the child.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure if that's what that meant. Let's see if we can find that again. Now I selected number four.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can see it again. And
Mother 16, 46, 46 when born. Where's the 62? Oh, there she is. Mother.
Okay, here's one, Edmund Boswell. Mother was 46 when born, when Edmund was born.
That means when Edmund.
That's right.
But that's possible.
Oh, yes. It's just that, you know, say prior to 1900, there were probably more children born to mothers prior to 1940. But it's not happening as much now.
You mean older mothers?
Yeah, older mothers. I think you'll see a change in that, though.
Why don't my
Yes, with all these women working, they're going to want kids and they'll be older.
Well, I think so. I think women are putting off having children until later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, there are more divorces, so women are getting married a second time, and they want to start another family. And also the medical research related to children born to older mothers.
Now there's one that next to the last, it says mother was 62 when born. Now I don't think that's, could you look at that one to see?
Okay, that's Martha Foster 37.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when born means when one of her children was born.
That's what,
Yeah, I think I've questioned that one. They probably, maybe they have estimated with doing some of the figures and put her down too old.
Okay, there's Martha.
Having those kids.
She was born in 1726. And her child was born in 1763.
No, that's
63. What's the matter with that computer?
So, let's see what they've done here. 1726 and 1763. What is that? 37.
Yep.
So the year was put in 1963,
and so I'm not sure. I'm really not sure about it. I don't know why it gave it that way.
So what would it say? Maybe if it's